Welcome to the Voices of the University podcast series, marking the 50th anniversary of the University of Warwick. Commissioned by the Institute of Advanced Study, the Voices of the University collection comprises of over 200 interviews with current and former staff, students and local residents, and reveals the history of the University of Warwick through their voices. In the second episode of our series, IAS Research Fellow Grace Huxford introduces extracts from the collection regarding university and campus development since 1965.
Although a small number of graduate students began their studies in 1964, the university first opened its doors to undergraduates in October 1965. In that year, the university offered 18 undergraduate degrees in a variety of subjects, from mathematics to history. In this extract, Professor Derek Burke describes founding the Department of Biological Sciences at Warwick just a few years later in 1969, with the support of Warwick's first Vice-Chancellor, Jack Butterworth.
There were no other staff, there was no equipment, there was not a test tube in the building, and we had a year before teaching started to get an undergraduate course together. So I was 39, and it was a challenge of a lifetime, really. I was very lucky. Jack was very good at giving people freedom. So I started, and after about 6 weeks, he called me in. "Well, my boy," he says, "what are you going to do?" And I'd thought about it. The chemistry and physics already existed and were good, getting better. Maths was already outstanding, and this was the next arm of the sciences. Computing science was small but developing. And so I had some ideas and told him. And then he said, "Well, go and do it." And that was it.
The number of university departments grew in the subsequent years. Professor Julian Gardner, the founding professor of the History of Art department, describes the beginning of his department in 1973.
I was appointed 9 months before the course began, and we were put in the engineering building, that is the old building opposite the library, which was then engineering, and we were given about 4 rooms there. And Warwick began, as it always began, its small subjects, that it started off with the professor plus one, and then added 2 people every year on the principle that 6 people was the viable size of a staff. And so by year 3, you had 6 colleagues, and then it was up to you.
Many people argue that the university's growth was underpinned by a distinct management style, described here by former registrar of the university, Professor Michael Shattuck.
Warwick has made a bit of a name for itself in regard to management style. The kinds of rules that I laid down were, first of all, we would only pick young administrators who were as well qualified as their academic colleagues. Secondly, that when they went to committee meetings, they should be expected to contribute to policy discussion. So we were appointing people who had PhDs or very good first degrees. We gave them a mixture of duties of policy work and humdrum detailed administration so that they had a foot in both camps. They didn't lose their grounding, as it were, in what had to be done. We encourage them to take part in policy discussions within the administration and in committees. And we grew them. I would not appoint from outside. I would appoint from inside because we had such good people. And that included often in the finance area and in the estates area, etc., etc. And I chaired all these appointing committees because I was so anxious to appoint really good people. The net result is that we've had, I think it's 14 people become registrars of British universities.
This management approach was said to have had direct effects on the development of the university. Julian Gardner again.
The thing that made Warwick qualitatively different from all the other new universities was the professionalism of its administration. What it did mean was that Warwick was so well organized from the beginning that a great many of the growing pains of departments becoming bankrupt or whatever, which happened in many of the other new universities, never happened here. It started off lean, and certainly until the mid-80s it had a head start on all the new universities. Jack Butterworth, he was the bursar at New College, Oxford. He had the idea that for every pound Warwick got in terms of outside, we earned a pound of our own. So Warwick always grew up financially more robust than any of the new universities.
As the number of departments, staff and students began to grow, so too did the campus. The physics department opened in 1969. The first stage of the arts building, now humanities, opened in 1970. The sports centre in 1971 and the arts centre in 1974. Dennis Welshman, who worked for the estates office for 35 years, describes how the landscape was designed around these new buildings.
Jack Butterworth never wanted flower beds and sort of pretty little areas. We had a lot of trees were planted in the early days, not necessarily the right ones, but they were planted. But he didn't like formality of borders and shrubs and annuals. But Warwick has always taken a pride in its appearance. There was a landscape working party formed probably the early 80s. And that working party basically steered the way we maintained the grounds. It was always high on the priority to, once we put a building up, to devote some of the money towards landscaping.
The campus environment occupies a special place in many people's memories of Warwick. Administrator Helen Blunt describes working in such an environment in the early 1990s.
It was beautiful. Lots of open spaces and fields. There was the lake and a stream. You could go on quite a nice walk around the lakes and up past the stream. And it was kept absolutely beautifully. The flower beds were all quite formal, I seem to remember, particularly outside Senate House and the Arts Centre. It was immaculate.
In the next Voices of the University podcast, we shall hear more about student life at Warwick. For further details or to hear the interviews in full, please consult the Voices of the University website.